It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. The prominent word on the Sick Temple of Wisconsin website is welcome. And that word resonates as you see all the ways this Sangat, this Sick Fellowship community, it continues to open up, continues to welcome community members in healing, in love. And today, this weekend, the series of events at the temple centered on the theme of Heal, Unite, Act, 10 years after a white supremacist opened fire on a gurdwara, this house of worship. Join in what is coming up, 800-642-1234. Pardeep Kalika is an expert in hate prevention and de-radicalization. He is executive director of the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee, where faith leaders come together to build community. Pardeep, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's an honor to be on.
You are a trustee of the temple, an integral part of the Sikh community. What are you hearing from fellow members of the community on this day?
Yeah, I think just, it's been 10 years. There's a lot of just, they can't believe it's been 10 years. Mm-hmm. For some people, it feels like yesterday. And I'm hearing just a lot of hope and gratitude from the Sangat itself of just all of the work that has been done, the appreciation for that work. And as you pointed out, our small Sangat feels like it's become a larger Sangat. We are genuinely grateful.
Mm. August 3rd, Wednesday, was your birthday. And 10 years ago, that was the last time that you would see your father alive. And I think about, birthday celebrations, mm-hmm. being so close together with death. And I think about how your birthdays won't ever be the same. How do you hold that?
Yeah, no, thank you for, August 3rd, I saw my dad alive. It was his 65th year on this planet, and I think that he was celebrating a recent retirement himself. And my dad and I, and I think this is true for lots of parents who have come over, first generation, second generation, there's a difficulty in assimilation and how that feels like and what that looks like, especially as you wrestle with identity and language and just everything that comes along with that. And by that time, I remember like a clear recollection of we had made it. We had achieved what we wanted to achieve. And I was genuinely just proud of my father, of what he had done coming to America in 1982, especially Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And at that time, I think that we were just appreciating life. And one of my last final memories of him was of him and his two grandchildren really giving piggyback rides in the middle of the living room. And I had this other memory of like, where was that? Where was this type of father when I was growing up? Mm. And I realized that he had to hold so much as a first generation immigrant just to make it. And now he was able to kind of celebrate his grandchildren and his life.
How would your father feel today? Look at your anti-hate work that you've done over the past decade.
Yeah, I know my father would be proud. And I know he would be proud and just look at it as a continuation of the work that he started to do. When he came over, I know that there's a part of him that wrestled with creating a place of sanctuary for the broader community. The money that he made kind of was dedicated towards that Sikh temple, what we call a gurdwara, and really creating a place for people to come, pray, marry, grieve all together. And by the time that he had passed, I know that he knew that. And obviously he passed in the place that he helped build. Mm. For Sikhs, there's no greater death nor life to be able to build that type of sanctuary and to be able to die or pass fighting for that same place of sanctuary that you helped to build. And so really, I think that he would take my work as just a continuation of that same struggle and fight.
We're talking with Pardeep Kalika, Father, was killed in the Sikh temple of Wisconsin mass shooting in Oak Creek 10 years ago today. Pardeep has dedicated himself to hate prevention and executive director of the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. You can join in 800-642-1234. The temple is having, you know, memorials and education events, conference-type activities, and a candlelight vigil, but also this 48-hour continuous prayer service. What are you praying about today?
This year, you know, 10 years after what happened, we're praying for a continuation and a dedication towards creating a safer society, not just for the Sikh community, but for the entire community. And much of our messaging is, yes, it's around Chardi Kala, but this year we have a special emphasis on another phrase, which is Sarbat Tabla. And Sarbat Tabla is, you know, part of that phrase of let's work for peace and prosperity for all mankind. So Sarbat Tabla literally translates to for all of mankind. And I think this year is really about that part of what are we going to do 10 years from now? How can we look back in 20 years? And there's been so much work that we have accomplished along with communities, passing policies, and, you know, just helping to change institutions, that I really think the work that we want to do going forward is really changing hearts and minds and what that all feels like.
In the context of For All of Mankind, you do therapy for people who are, you know, they've been lured by extremist ideologies. You've worked with former white supremacists and Islamists and eco-terrorists. What do you learn from them?
You know, one of the things that I learned from them is just how prevalent pain can be in one's life, what those grievances can lead a person to do. And the other part of it is I just how courageous people can be to get out of that life. And for me, it was a continuous journey of trying to go upstream. People ask, like, why is it that you are called to do this work? Why not somebody else who hasn't sort of suffered the same type of tragedy that you have suffered? And I let them know that I'm looking for the next Wade Page. I know that there are people out there that are like him, and we can do this work. We can create a society where people can be a bit more attuned to what pain and rejection are causing in a person, and what those grievances are causing in a person, and how do we de-escalate that? You know, how do we de-escalate hate? How do we off-ramp somebody? So, for me, it's been, I've been both in a strange way blessed by the life that I get to lead in getting further upstream and not being so responsive to hate and sort of the aftermath, is that I know that there has been numerous incidents that we have prevented and families that do not have to grieve because we have been able to off-ramp that person.
Pardeep Kalika, expert in hate prevention and de-radicalization, trustee of the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin, integral member of the community, trusted representative. Join in on ways to prevent hate. What is happening in your community? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. August 5th, 2012. We reflect, we listen, we remember lives lost. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Sikh Temple of Wisconsin, it remains the deadliest act of anti-Sikh hate in U.S. history. The work of this Sangat, this congregation, is to heal, to unite, and stand in solidarity with other faith communities that have fallen victim to mass gun violence and white supremacy. Join in 800-642-1234. Pardeep Kalika is a Sikh temple trustee. He leads the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee, a clinician with Parents for Peace, and founded Serve to Unite, and stays with us. Pardeep, as we talk about disrupting extremism, disrupting hate, what contributes to extremism? What can you point to?
That's a great question. And there's different forms and different levels of extremism. But I think a lot of times what leads to it is a sense of loneliness, a want for identity, purpose, and what we call, you know, belonging. So we start to look at some of those things and, you know, certain kids are a bit more prone, certain young men, and I'll be very specific on that, that most of our cases do involve young men, you know, within 18, 19, 20, 21. And some types of personalities are just a bit more prone to it. So there's lots of variables, but a sense of what we start to look at is a sense of grievances and rejection, whether they are real or not. It doesn't really matter to that person. They're real to that person. And so the sense of persecution and all of that starts to lead this person into searching for why am I being persecuted? And there's no shortage of answers on social media and the internet for them to find those answers. And oftentimes that leads them to a place where they continuously get siloed and brainwashed, quite honestly. I think that's what kind of leads people into different types of ideologies of extremism.
I think what you're saying there about social media and the internet, finding echo chambers, perhaps, what impact is that having on this work to stop hate crimes? You know, that whole element of the digital world.
It makes it extremely difficult. You know, as opposed to, I've worked with other white supremacists and stuff before. You know, years past, you would have to throw out leaflets at a place where they're having racial tensions. Well, now the entire, digital world becomes a leaflet, and you're throwing them out and finding disgruntled kids, and then seeing how far they go into that. So it's the work is extremely difficult, and you know, Twitter, Facebook, all of these social media engines understand just how difficult it is. And they have dedicated cybersecurity that is directed at just seeing those threats.
For years, the Sikh community and the Sikh coalition, they've pushed authorities to recognize and track anti-Sikh hate crimes. And the FBI, as you know well and know, agreed to do so, to begin tracking these incidents in 2015. What difference has that made?
A huge difference. Since they've been tracking that, we found that in the past 10 years, since the 2012 attacks, that Sikhs are overly represented as targets of hate, along with the Jewish community, the Muslim community, the LGBTQ community, and the Black community. And so tracking hate crimes or hate bias incidents against Sikhs has led to the allocation of resources dedicated towards prevention. So it's made a huge difference.
When you see that allocation of resources toward prevention, what is the top priority? Where should it go to?
The top priority, I think, really needs to go into, like, what does prevention look like from a whole of society approach? Meaning that law enforcement, DOJ officials, cannot do this work alone. They cannot do this work without community stakeholders, nonprofits, media. We all have a stake in all of our neighborhoods. And a lot of times when you have a localized focus, that those local communities can be really attuned to what hate looks like and how hate may be escalating against a targeted community within those particular communities. So I think the work really needs to go from a federal level to much more of a local level. Not that the federal level is, you know, there's good in that as well, but it also needs to go to over-reliance of law enforcement entities to more of a whole of society approach.
You mentioned law enforcement. Would harsher penalties or more enforcement of hate crime laws help reduce hate crimes?
I think they would. I just don't think they would to the extent that we need them to. I don't know if a person who is committing hate is really thinking about all of the, you know, the severity of the punishment. Lots of times when we see people getting into some of this stuff, they don't know exactly how far in they are because they're being groomed a lot of times to hate and hate and hate. So sometimes that rage kind of gets in the way of your intellect or your kind of like logic. So I don't know if the logic of harsher sentences and penalties would have as much of an effect as we would deem them to. I also think that they would have some effect. So, I mean, it's I guess it's too early to tell, but I think that we need to take a bit more of a proactive approach than a reactive approach.
Pardeep Kalika with us works in the space of hate prevention and de-radicalization, executive director of the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. And his father was killed 10 years ago today in the mass shooting at the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin in Oak Creek. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Let's go to Sarah in Whitewater. Sarah, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much. I'm enjoying this discussion so very much. And I would like to extend my deepest sympathies for the loss of your father and what a horrible tragedy we went through in Milwaukee. I was living in Milwaukee at the time. And I just wanted to mention, and I'd like to know some thoughts. I've always considered social media a tool, and we have an opportunity to use social media for good as well as we use it for hate. And this previous few words you were mentioning about harsher sentences, etc., I do agree, and yet the proactive approach, as you mentioned, makes a lot of sense. Is there a way, or what are your thoughts, that we could turn these tools that we have into tools for good? And is there something that we can do? I'm sure there's many people sitting around hearing this who agree very much with what you're saying. And I'm happy to take those comments off the air, and I thank you so much.
Oh, Sarah, thank you so much. Pardeep.
Yes, sir. That's a great question. And I think that you're right. I think that these are tools, and tools can be used for good, and tools can be manipulated to be used for bad. Oftentimes when you have a young, disgruntled person, they may be using it for bad without them really knowing that they are, because they're searching for answers on why they feel depressed, why they feel sad, why they may feel suicidal. And so they get online and start the search of like why they can make sense of their grievances. And what they start to find is sort of this world that tells them that they're justified to have these grievances. And so, you know, this particular group is to blame for that. So I think that it can be used for good. We have to be really careful in the way that we use it, how we teach the next generations on how to do research, how to find things that are not only credible, but find things that are filling their heart with goodness rather than disgruntlement. So I think that you are right. It is just, I think the thing that parents and loved ones can do is really be attuned to your children and see how long there's like, how much time are they spending on the internet? What are they searching? There's lots of different internet platforms that may seem very, very like innocent. But then the further that they get into them, you know, we've had parents who didn't know that their kids were making guns or bombs or other things. Mm. They didn't know to the extent that they were being radicalized or being groomed. They didn't know that the trips that they were taking into the middle of the woods was them being manipulated and trafficked into some of these gangs or groups. So I think be attuned to your children.
In our last few moments together, picking up on what Sarah said, how can we be better allies? How can we support the Sikh community?
I just think tonight, tonight's going to be a very special night for the entire Sikh community, not just in Wisconsin, but in the United States and in the world. And I come to the vigil, show up to the vigils, show support for your Sikh neighbors. It's not lost on us that tonight, a former disgraced president, and I don't mean to be political, but decided to hold a rally 25 minutes away in Waukesha. And that, and then we talk about this issue of white supremacy and just kind of what it feels like. It is not lost on anybody, just the dynamics of racism and hate that are happening in this country. So I think that, choose what kind of America you want to see. Tonight at the Sikh Temple of Wisconsin, you will see a community come together. And again, like as we unite, as we heal, as we act towards the betterment of society, or are we supporting something that is much more divisive and much, much more dangerous?
Pradeep Kalika on the Ideas Network.